Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Tuesday morning talking all things Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Gentry, this is the first time I think we've had you on since Vrabel was discussing with you how much it sucks to lose as head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and now he's not the coach anymore. So I feel like we can't let another moment go by without at least addressing that point.
Yeah, interesting few weeks. Yeah, I guess enough's happened since then. But it was funny when that happened. I heard from people I haven't heard from in years. You know, living all over the country, it's amazing how widespread that got. Just a few moments in a press conference like that.
You became a Pat McAfee regular for a couple days.
You did.
I know. How about that? It was pretty wild, really, but it was moving so fast here. You know, you're going into that last game and then everything that happened all last week, so it's all kind of a blur. But now the one thing about it was I don't think people – and you guys did a good job kind of setting it up exactly what I asked, but, you know, Vrabel had said earlier in the press conference that – they needed to win that last game, quote, for a lot of reasons. So I was just following up, asking what he meant by that. And, you know, in hindsight, with everything the way it's played out, it's kind of an interesting exchange.
Yeah, no question about that. So let's just start there, Gentry. The 30,000-foot view of the Titans right now, what do you make of what all has transpired here, the decision to fire Mike Vrabel, and where do you think the Titans go to from here with their head coaching search?
Yeah, going from here, I mean, they're casting a really wide net at this point. I think a lot of teams kind of are. I don't know if we know a lot yet about where they're really headed here, but it does seem like, you know, some of the preconceived notions, they want an offensive coach, that kind of thing. Maybe not the case. We'll see as this thing goes. But, you know, 30,000-foot view, I think most people would have thought, you know, going into toward the end of the season that it probably wasn't going to work out this way. But I think the more you learn about what was really going on inside that building and, you know, how frayed some of the relationships had become, that it's made more and more sense to me kind of after the fact than maybe it did heading into it.
So where do you think Vrabel goes from here? They're definitely NFL media. He is a darling and has been. I think that he's a good coach. And I think that, you know, he should have a job if he wants one. But where do you think that ends up? And what's your concern level with the Titans? Just the organization as constructed. Amy Adams Strunk, the decision she's made in the last year plus, and then Rand Carthon now, I guess, elevating into a more important role.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think Vrabel will land somewhere. I guess maybe the reports were a little inflated for New England's interest in him, but I think that he is a good coach. There's a lot of openings right now. You have to believe somebody somewhere is going to take a look at this and go, yeah, we'd like to have Mike Vrabel coaching our team. So no, wouldn't surprise me at all to see him land a job before next season. And I think, you know, in terms of the Titans, it's – look, we're going to see how this plays out. And I feel like what happened here is, in a lot of ways, Amy Adams Strunk was kind of taking control back of the direction of the team into what she wants as opposed to what Mike Vrabel wanted. And we'll see how that goes. You know, Mike Vrabel won a lot of games with the Titans, and that's not an easy decision. But it just felt like – from a fan standpoint, the way everything played out that day, that press conference was just awful that night in terms of, you know, not being able to provide information that not just media, but the fans would want to know about your team. And I do feel like the day it happened, it would have gone a long way for Amy Adams Strunk to put herself in front of the media and answer a lot of the questions that the fans have about the direction of the team. You know, you put Rand Carthon in front of the media, and there's just certain things, you know, he's just not comfortable discussing, and you're putting someone who was not responsible for the decision, who's having to explain the decision, and it didn't go very well.
No, it certainly did not. So with that in mind, Gentry, how do you view Amy Adams Strunk and Titans ownership? I mean, I do think since she's taken over as controlling owner, she's done a lot of really good things. And, you know, before she did that, this franchise was in a state of disarray, and there was a lot of things that, quite frankly, they were just out of touch with their fan base. So I think she's done a lot towards kind of rebuilding and repairing that relationship. There have been a couple of decisions that appear to me to be a little rash that she's made the last couple of years. So overall, how do you view Amy Adams Strunk and where things currently stand with Titans ownership?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly fair on the decisions. And I think some of it also is the fact that there's this notion that she'll say one thing and then do another. You know, it's happened a couple times now with coaches. And I feel like, you know, look, that's fine. You can be that way as an owner and make these kind of decisions. And a lot of times, you know, if it works out, people will think, you know, people will think you're a genius. So I feel like, you know, once before when with hiring Vrabel, it did work out. But you look at it from the standpoint of the Titans at one point had things going really well with John Robinson as the GM and Mike Vrabel as the head coach. And now you don't have either of them. And the question I would have is, you know, you're going to have to bring in someone as a head coach here who has a pretty strong presence in the building. I feel like, you know, with Rand Carthen, that's kind of the question mark here, because I really don't feel like we've been able to really see what he wants to do yet in that GM role. And I think we're going to get a sense for that now. But at the same time, the head coach is going to have a big say here, you know, versus some other places in terms of the identity and the direction of the franchise. And I feel like, you know, if that's certain owners probably wouldn't allow that. And I think Amy Adams Strunk will allow that. But at the same time, it's not easy to win. And I feel like the Titans are in a division where they benefited for a number of years from some of the missteps of the other teams in the AFC South, especially, you know, in terms of ownership and some of the decisions that were made. Now I feel like the Titans are benefiting the other teams in that division.
So who do you like, Gentry? What direction do you like? I guess I'm like a lot of the NFL. Like, I like the hot shot OC, play calling head coach if possible, because most of them work out, but anyone in particular you like? What do you think about the wide net also that's being cast?
Yeah, I mean, it really is at this point, and we'll see kind of where that's headed, but you know, I think a lot of the names that have come up would have been interesting in their own way. To me, Antonio Pierce was interesting because this is a guy that you would view as kind of a slam dunk hire for the Raiders, really. I mean, in terms of making him the full-time head coach, I think the players there are very much in support of that happening. And if the Titans would be able to sneak that guy out of Las Vegas, and that would be an interesting poll. I'll throw another name out there. And I know I'm probably alone in this in terms of what would be my interest. But when you look at a lot of these younger offensive coordinators who've never been a head coach before, I do wonder why they would be preferable to Arthur Smith. And I know everyone always says, well, because Arthur had a chance and he blew it. You know, yeah. What happened in Atlanta was Arthur did a pretty good job for about 2 years, never figured out the quarterback position, and then didn't meet expectations this season and got fired. That's what happens in that league when you don't figure out who your quarterback is going to be, or you make the wrong decision on a Desmond Ridder. But I still feel like Arthur Smith's going to be a good coach somewhere. I think he did a pretty good job there without much for a couple of seasons offensively. And you're talking about a guy who a few years ago was that next coordinator, and he's been a head coach before. So I'm wondering why we haven't heard Arthur's name a little more, not just for the Titans, but for anybody.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point there. Gentry, last thing for you here, kind of switching gears a little bit. As somebody who has spent some time around Nick Saban, what did you make of his decision to retire and the replacement that Alabama has hired in Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah, what a week, huh? And to have that coming in, I covered Saban's first three teams at Alabama. I came in there when they were terrible in 2007, and then left right after they won the first national championship. So saw the first building blocks, and I think you knew, you know, look, even before that championship, you could tell about a year in what was coming with that program, the way they were recruiting and just how everything was meshing so well at that university. I think you got the right coach in the right place in terms of, you know, an institution that really was all in doing, you know, everything he would have wanted financially and everything else, and staff sizes, the kind of things Alabama did for about a decade. You know, they set the trend in terms of how much money they're spending on recruiting and staff sizes and just things like that. And it's a perfect setup because you had a coach who really knew how to win with that. And I'm not sure we're ever going to see a coach that driven and that obsessive in terms of when you just saw him go about his job. But I also don't know if you'll ever see a coach land in a situation as perfect as that was for him at Alabama, a school that, you know, was really desperate to win and had the resources to do it. And you know, everything came together for a staggering number of years.
Yep, no question about it. Gentry, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rexwood. We'll take your thoughts on what Gentry had to say. We'll also get into the results yesterday from the final two games of Wild Card Weekend, setting up the divisional round coming up in the NFL this weekend. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Thanks to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean for being with us in the last segment. That's an interesting thought there. What did you make of what Gentry had to say about Arthur Smith there? Interesting thought from him.
Yeah, no, it brings up very fair points. I think there's an array of opinions about what Arthur Smith did there. And look, I can't sit here and pretend that I watched the Falcons closely enough to know if it was just really all about the QB. I feel like the way they performed in that last game, with so much at stake, even though they needed help. I mean, that was just they just completely collapsed in that game, it appeared. Had a lot of losses where in the last few years, it seems to me, where they just had a huge defensive gaffe or something, right? Like they had some crushing losses. So I think Gentry brings up fair points there, and we know he was good here. It is interesting. I mean, I've honestly not even really thought about the guy. I'm very interested to see, you know, what becomes of him. Does that tenure make him not a viable candidate? I mean, the probable path for him now is to be someone's OC, and then see if he can do that well and see if he can cycle himself back up to get a head coaching job. But it's a fair name to bring up. It's funny how, I mean, if you want one fun exercise to do is go through, like, just go back college and pro coaching cycles and look at like the hot names at certain times who now you're just like, oh my God. I mean, I remember when Matt Campbell was like, that guy could have any job he wants, Ohio State, whatever. And now it's like, I guess he's all right at Iowa State. You know, so that's
Scott
where
Frost at Nebraska. It's like, oh my gosh, Nebraska's back. They've got Scott Frost.
Exactly. I mean, actually, the funny thing is Harbaugh was that exact same thing too until Connor Stallions showed up. But yeah, there's a lot of that, and it's so Arthur Smith is kind of he's not winning the presser right now. You're not winning the presser with Arthur Smith, you know. But I agree that he's a viable, good coach, and I'm with Gentry too. I think Pierce is a really interesting situation. I guess he'll probably get the Raiders job, but it has been impressive what he's done there.
It has been impressive what he's done. And, you know, we were talking about this with Caroline earlier. Like, I still buy into this. Like, it doesn't have to be an offensive guy. Would that be my preference? Yes, to go hire an offensive head coach and to get one of these play callers in here to do that. Because I think especially with where you are with your quarterback, I think that would be beneficial. Having said that, like, what if Mike McDonald is, like, the best option, right? Like, you said it yesterday. There have been people throwing it out there that Mike McDonald might be the smartest guy in the room that they've ever encountered here. Like, so if Mike McDonald, you feel great about him being a head coach and you feel like he's your best option, I think you should do that if you're the Titans. Even though I can just tell you, if the Titans hire a defensive coach, the fan base is going to be mad about it. They just are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, so, but yeah, I mean, look, that's there's just like with everything. I mean, there's way more information they have than what we have, and I guess to me, it's like the hit rate until something changes. And of course, I know a lot of Titans fans will be like, "Well, we'll be the team that changes it," but until the hit rate slows down a little bit, it's awfully high. For that Shanahan, like Shanahan's tree is like the opposite of the Belichick tree at this point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Belichick tree was bad. It really has been astoundingly bad, if you really think about it. I mean, Bill O'Brien was a good coach. Bill O'Brien was a good coach with Houston. But for the most part, you know, it's just been really rough. And so far, everybody who hangs out with Shanahan and McVay really ends up being pretty good.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, I think Arthur's come undone at the end of games will sour Amy on him. Fair or unfair? I think that's likely a deal breaker for her. Plus he's a Vrabel guy. Does she want to hire someone so closely tied to him? But that's the thing, though. Like, he was Vrabel's OC, but he's not really a Vrabel guy. Like, he was there with the Titans before Vrabel was.
Yeah, Amy Adams-Strunk was paying Arthur Smith long before she ever met Mike Vrabel. Now, I'd have been paying him like $40,000 a year at first, you know, but I mean, he's his own person who Vrabel kept and then elevated, and it was ended up being a smart choice by Vrabel. I mean, another example, by the way, of, you know, Vrabel, that's not quote elevating a buddy. That's someone he works with who's like, oh, this guy's really good. And it was a very, very good choice. But again, I also go back to Arthur Smith's time and say he did a lot of good things, and he had a lot of really good things going for him with the receivers, with Derrick Henry, with the offensive line, with Ryan Tannehill. All of them were at high level of performance. How much credit you want to give Arthur Smith for Tannehill playing the best ball of his career during that time? You can. I think he has to have some. I would also give Tannehill some credit, a guy who, you know, had multiple 4,000-yard passing seasons in Miami for helping Arthur Smith look good at times.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I agree with Gentry. Like, I think Arthur Smith is a good coach. And I thought when he got hired in Atlanta that was a really good move by the Falcons. And then it just goes to show you, like, if you can't figure out quarterback, you just don't have much of a chance, right? I mean, they tried Desmond Ridder, and I think it's pretty clear he's not the guy. You know, Marcus was starting for him for like half of last year. That didn't go well. I mean, when you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to overcome that in this league. And that's why, yeah, look, I think the offensive coordinator part of this, like, you know, who knows if Brian Callahan would be a good coach? Who knows if Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick would be a good head coach? But so much of it comes down to the quarterback and the pieces that you have around them. I mean, it's a long way of me saying, like, if you told me that Arthur Smith one day got another crack at being a head coach and had a quarterback that was serviceable, that he'd do a good job, I'd say, yeah, I could probably see that. I just wonder if he'll actually get that shot again one day.
Right. I think it's gonna have to be because he gets an OC shot and it goes really well. And, you know, certainly we do see that happen sometimes, you know, in the NFL. I mean, last week, different era and different situations, but it is wild when you think about Belichick, Saban, Carroll, guys, three guys in 24-hour period, all out, two in stunning fashion. Everybody knew what was going to happen with Belichick, but, you know, the Saban and the Carroll thing, especially Saban, right, was shocking. But, you know, all three of those guys had been, yeah, okay, they're decent, fine, whatever. And they were around 50 years old when they, at that point at 50, they were like, yeah, they're okay. You know, good enough to get another head coaching job. And they all did their best work after their 50s, you know,
yeah,
after getting multiple opportunities to prove that. So it's, I mean, all of them had been fired from jobs and it really didn't have good records and all that stuff. So now it's a different time, but it's just interesting how that can work sometimes. I think Arthur Smith will have more opportunities to prove himself. Yeah. it's pretty obvious at this point it's not going to be here, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think that's pretty clear. And maybe there is something to Amy Adams Strunk just wanting a just totally the total departure from even just the whole Vrabel staffing, all that. To me, if you want a total departure, that's another reason to go offensive play calling head coach, because obviously with Vrabel, that's not what you had. So a lot of times you see it, you go the other route. I mean, I guess Malarkey in theory was that he was an OC his whole career. He was an offensive. He was a great OC with the Steelers back in the day. Inspector Gadget, they called him, for people who were of a certain age. And of course, Wisenhunt was supposed to be a genius there, and that didn't work out too well. But again, like, I mean, at this point, it seems like people who come from that tree are just all good. Somebody's going to be a complete bust, like, sometime soon. It has to happen, right? Like, they can't all end up being good head coaches, right? But if you start with you can maximize your quarterback in this league, I think a lot of the other stuff can take care of itself.
Jackson on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are your thoughts on Jim Schwartz as the new Titans head coach? Joe, what do you think of that?
Well, I think Jim Schwartz is, I've said this before, I think he was actually pretty good with a bad situation with the Lions, which, again, most people, for the most of the Lions' history, it's been a bad situation with the Lions. Great defensive coordinator. Look, Bobby Slowick took him to school the other day. But, you know, it's just like Dan Quinn. I mean, I think Dan Quinn and Jim Schwartz are both viable candidates. Does Jim Schwartz, he just now got back into the full grind of coaching as a D coordinator. Is he also ready to go right back into the head coaching thing? I mean, I would have that question. Remember, he was here in part, his health was not up to being in that grind when he was here helping out for 2 years in a very limited role, by the way. But I mean, I don't dismiss that out of hand. I think if he wants to get into it, I would imagine he'd get some interest.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the results yesterday of the final two games of Wild Card Weekend. Look ahead to the divisional round as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, the final two games of Wild Card Weekend going down yesterday, and a couple of more stinkers for the most part. Pittsburgh, to their credit, clawed back in there kind of and sort of made it a game, but Buffalo ends up winning 31-17. They advance to the divisional round, and Tampa Bay just housing the Eagles last night, 32-9, the final score. So Tampa Bay advancing, the Eagles complete their collapse and go from 10-1 to out of the playoffs in the wild card round after just a destructive last six games of the season for them. What did you make of the two games that we saw yesterday? And we'll start with Tampa Bay and Philadelphia, because there could be some interesting aftermath for the Eagles on that one.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the Eagles stink. They are garbage. And I just don't understand how that has happened to a team that was 10-1 coming off a play away from winning the Super Bowl. Just wild. Also, I'd like to give a little thought. I sent you guys a tweet on the Browns fandom. The Browns fans today can wake up and say, wow, well, Baker is one win away from the NFC title game, and Deshaun Watson's locked up here. You had to give the whole world to Deshaun Watson. By the way, you know, I already see a lot of people who enjoy the Detroit Lions talking about, oh, my goodness, this kid is too good to be true. Tampa Bay at home.
Looking ahead.
Put the Lions in the tie game. Let me tell you something. Baker Mayfield might just have the two most suffering fan bases in the NFL feeling real bad about themselves in about a week here, okay? So I'm just putting that out there. I know I said the Rams were going to win last week, but I'm just putting it out there. Don't get all excited. Baker Mayfield is playing great. He has really good receivers. Rashad White's a good bag. The Eagles, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to judge because the Eagles can't seemingly tackle anyone ever, but he's running hard. They can throw it around the yard. I tell you what, that's a really good job by Todd Bowles, and that's not a bad football team at all. It's wild to think that either that team with Baker quarterbacking or the freaking Lions will be in the NFC title game.
Yeah, I mean, he looks really good. And you look at what he did in the regular season. I mean, you're talking about, number one, being healthy and available in all 17 games. He threw for over 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 picks, 64.3% of his passes completed. He was really good. And you know, I didn't think that we would be getting to a point where you start to talk about, like, could Baker Mayfield be the answer at quarterback for Tampa Bay more than just 1 year this year, but I think we're there, and he's done a really good job. And you know, Mike Evans continues to be Mike Evans. Chris Godwin, they got some good players, especially at receiver. But certainly, I mean, they destroyed the Eagles last night. They've been playing really well the second half of the season. They win that, albeit horrible, division, but they're the one that comes through it there. And I do think the matchup between them and Detroit is pretty interesting. I would still probably pick the Lions, especially at home in that environment that we saw last week. But yeah, if you're a Detroit fan, number one, if you're a Lions fan overlooking anyone, ha-ha to you. But yes, certainly don't need to be overlooking Baker Mayfield in this offense, because this offense, if they're on, they can make that Lions defense look pretty bad.
Oh, no question. Yeah, Lions defense is not championship caliber. The offense is. The defense very much is not. But, you know, the Eagles now, what's the fallout? Sirianni going to lose his job? I mean, it's how many coaches the year after making the Super Bowl have been fired? I'm sure it's happened. And maybe some people can think of something right off the top of their head. It's, you know, but it can't have happened often. Right. And again, it's like there used to be this thing where the Super Bowl loser would go on to have a rough next season. And the NFL is just like one of those weird things that used to happen quite a bit. But I mean, this team was 10-1, and yeah, they'd won a lot of close games. They didn't look as dominant. You knew they weren't as good. But AJ Brown, you said earlier in the show, he was setting a record. He was lighting everybody up, and they missed him a ton last night. He's their best. You know, he's their best offensive player, period. But for them, with all the talent they have, to look like that last night, basically hapless against the Bucs, my goodness. Maybe Nick Sirianni's out. I mean, that would be a stunning fall. This team just did it, and if he all of a sudden gets fired, my goodness. Yeah. Talk about a drastic turnaround.
So did the Titans win the Kevin Byard trade? We've gotten a lot of those questions so far on the text line this morning. What do you think of that?
Well, look, I didn't hate what they got in the first place. I don't know why some people are flipping out about it. Corey and Jared and other people are acting like he's an all pro still. I mean, it got something for him, you know. Obviously, once you did that, you were, to me, to some extent, punting on the season, and well, we saw how it turned out. So, you know, it's interesting to take that conversation into the context of all the discussion about Rand Carthon, because, I mean, look, I learned a lot about what had gone on in that building last week in the wake of the firing of Mike Vrabel, and definitely there, you know, a lot of people who talk about, like, Rand Carthon very much deferred to Vrabel, right? And Vrabel was the dominant personality, and Carthon, you know, maybe he didn't feel comfortable completely asserting himself, okay? But the Byard trade, I mean, Byard thanked everyone except Rand Carthon in his, you know, statement. And so, I mean, that's Rand. I mean, you know, Rand, you know, there was the talk of the pay cut. So that was something that Rand certainly was empowered to do. It's not like he did nothing. It's not like, and again, the free agent signings, I mean, you can't, that's certainly Rand saying, I really trust this guy. This guy can play Brunskill, Key, Alshire, right? So it's not like he had no role. I think coming out of last week, I see a little bit, maybe too much of, like, what did Rand do last year? And it's not quite that extreme. And again, to your point, Robbie, I'd say that move worked out pretty well. I mean, it's, you know, it was It's a big number they were paying him, and you just have to know when to move on. The Jarrell Casey move at first, I didn't like it all. And it turns out it's like, oh, yep, that was the exact right time to do it.
Buffalo wins 31-17 last night. Josh Allen with a very impressive touchdown run in that game. You know, snowballs raining down from the crowd as that game's going on. Buffalo wins. Mike Tomlin in the post game was asked about, or was starting to be asked about, probably is a better way to say it, having 1 year left on his contract, and then walks off the stage there. So I don't know what that means and what his future is going to look like there in Pittsburgh. But Buffalo wins, and Joe, that sets up a nice Chiefs on the road, by the way, and Bills divisional round matchup coming up next week. You got the Packers and the 49ers, the Texans and the Ravens, and then, of course, the Lions and the Bucks as well. A very intriguing divisional weekend. Hopefully it's better than wild card weekend, which quite frankly sucked. Not very good games other than one matchup between the Rams and the Lions on wild card weekend.
I mean, 5 of 6 games being crap is awful. Just an awful hit rate. And I know the ratings are going to be all great and everything, so people will focus on that. But we got hosed. We got hosed last weekend. So we are owed really good games this weekend. Look, the Ravens, huge favorites against the Texans. The Niners, huge favorites against your Packers. I think the Lions are like 6-point favorites at home. What is the Bills-Chiefs line, by the way? That's an interesting one to me. I mean, that one, I hope, is going to be another classic between those two.
It is Bills by 2.5 at the moment.
Yeah, okay, all right. I mean, that's the fitting last game of the weekend, and so hopefully it lives up to that. But, look, I just said I absolutely won't be surprised if the Bucs win. I guess it'd be shocking if like both the Texans and the Packers won, but if one, you tell me one of those teams is going to pull it off, I can see it. I can see it. We've seen the Ravens blow it before as the one seed with Lamar Jackson as the obvious MVP, and the Niners are the best team, period. But your Packers got something brewing, man. Your Packers, they got something brewing. They're going to need a little tip pass at the line. They're going to need a fumble. They're going to need something like that because the Niners' offense is just ridiculous, but I think the Packers offense can make some trouble.
It's going to be interesting to see how that one goes. I mean, and then there's the old argument too, Joe, of how do you handle the week off? We've seen some teams before when they have the bye week in the playoffs, they come back and it doesn't make a difference. They look refreshed. They look ready to go and they dominate. And we've seen some teams come that week off and they look bad. And there's really no, like, if you look at the numbers, there's really no rhyme or reason to it. It just kind of feels random how your team responds. But it does feel like, you know, at least once a year, there's a team that had the bye that looks a little rusty to start. And sometimes they're able to dig their way out of it, and sometimes they're not. I'm interested to see, can the Ravens and the Niners prevent that from happening this weekend?
You know what I'm excited by?
What's that?
Is that you just used the term bye week correctly. Kudos. Everyone, this is a bye. This is a bye week. You got a bye.
It can
in the
be
playoffs.
Used in multiple forms.
Well, it is. It doesn't mean it can be or should be, but but I need to get that in and say it as much as possible during this time. So it doesn't
matter.
Yeah,
some people though.
Bye week, like, bye week, bye week, bye week, bye week.
The Super Bowl is already determined because the Super Bowl logo colors mirror that of the Ravens and the Niners. So there are some people that think this is already predetermined, and that it's going to be San Francisco and Baltimore coming up in the Super Bowl.
This sounds like an Aaron Rodgers ayahuasca trip.
I think he brought that up on the, on the pat. I think he was one of the ones that talked about this.
Shocking. Has that happened before?
Where
the
I don't know.
Have the like the uniform colors of the teams that end up playing it?
I don't know. I'm sure it probably has. There's only a limited amount of colors that they can put on these things.
Wow. That would be a good Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not going to be mad if that's what we get.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Our final thoughts on wild card weekend. Could there be more coaching firings coming throughout the NFL? We'll get into that. Our final thoughts on the Titans coaching search for the day as well coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Thursday night for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are on the road taking on UTEP with pregame beginning at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you. Our text line, which is an interesting place right now. Also saying, Joe, that the last 2 years, apparently, the Super Bowl logos have lined up with the participants of said Super Bowl. So make of that what you will.
The last 2 years they have?
Apparently so.
Okay. Oh, wow. Well, that's got to be true then. Now, just remember, if it's not Niners-Ravens, I want people who like stuff like this to remember that and say it. You know what I mean?
What if it is?
Well, then it's obviously the NFL is completely fixed. I mean, they've kind of told you, they've had their commercial like, okay, here's the script for the whole season. You know, they just need to be a little more careful about not telling us with the logo.
Yeah, that's true. We also have this from Matt on the text line, who just takes shots at Joe every day that most of the time are not eligible to be actually read. You're still his last two text messages. You're still Lansing's biggest loser. Go back. Bye. Also, you are the undisputed loser of Lansing. A new movie stars you. Matt Q. Bye. Those are the last two texts we have referencing you, Rex Road.
Yeah.
Lancer's loser.
Yeah, I don't read that guy's text. He's a racist POS. So, but there you go. But thanks for participating. I don't even read them, but I guess thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome. There you go. Joe, your final thoughts on the wild card games from last night. Could we see more coaching firings? We've talked about Sirianni with the Eagles. Nothing from Mike McCarthy yet in terms of what his future looks like with Dallas. I would not be shocked if we saw something on that today. And then there's the Mike Tomlin part of this, which, you know, he walks off the podium last night. He's been there for a long time, has never had a losing season. I don't think that they're going to fire him, but some people in Pittsburgh are certainly rooting for that right now. So we'll be interested to see what happens there. But do you think we could see more coaching firings? And if so, how many are you expecting?
Well, I think most people, and I would join this, would expect Mike McCarthy in Dallas. An interesting note today that the, you know, Steven and Jerry and their typical radio thing, they're not doing it this week. So,
oh boy.
Make of that what you will, but I think that's happening. I like right now, I'm really torn on Sirianni. It seems crazy. It really does. But also, it's crazy what happened to that team. And how could you not give him a lot of credit for what they built up to last year? But then how could you not give him the bulk of the blame for what happened this year? I think you said 45%. I'm probably there too. Like, if I had to bet, I would bet Sirianni's the Eagles coach next year, but I don't feel great about it. Tomlin, I don't think they're going to fire him. I don't think they should fire him. I think that he's a coach who consistently does well with what he has, and he hasn't had a good quarterback, because Ben was a shell of himself late. He hasn't had a good quarterback that can really win big for you in this league for 5 years, right? 4 or 5 years. That's something to keep in mind. But I mean, look, the Steelers had an in-season firing this year of a coach, and that never happens either. So maybe they're actually going to fire a coach. When's the last time the Pittsburgh Steelers fired a head coach? I guess maybe the guy before Chuck Knoll.
I guess so. I mean, it's pretty wild to think about. Since the 70s, they've had 3 head coaches. That's why I feel pretty good about Tomlin coming back. But he is on the last year of his deal next year. So I wonder what that looks like. And also, like, if you're that ownership, how do you view Kenny Pickett, and how involved was Mike Tomlin in choosing Kenny Pickett? Because I don't think Pittsburgh is feeling great about where he's at right now.
Yeah, it looks like that quarterback draft was exactly what a lot of people said it was, and they totally reached for him. So, by the way, we have to keep all these takes. Like, gotta gather them all in one place and just have a segment of takes. But Jared had Pickett as his MVP this year.
I remember that. Yeah, the Steelers going to the Super Bowl too.
Yeah, they looked so amazing in the preseason. So amazing. That is one thing someone said on the text line today. Is like, do we know at least that the Titans will play their starters more in the preseason? Maybe that should be part of the interview process. Do you like to play starters in the preseason so people can get excited and be misguided about what this team actually might be?
How much work will Treylon Burks get in the preseason? Your answer determines whether or not you're going to be hired by the Tennessee Titans.
Well, now, granted, he may be a gunner for the next coach, so who knows? he may need a lot of it.
He might be. Joel, the net very wide for the Titans in this coaching search. You know, the Thomas Brown news was put out there yesterday about they've requested permission to interview him, who has been the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, which a lot of Titans fans saw and said, huh, the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants this year, huh? That's pretty interesting. What did you make of that news and how wide this net is for the Titans right now?
Well, the thing is, in both cases, first of all, a year ago, Kafka's a lot more, look at what they did with Daniel Jones, right? They had a bad year. They had a bad year in a lot of ways. And Thomas Brown, yeah, obviously they are just a terrible team, terrible. But, you know, it's like Ben Johnson. I think he's really good, okay? I think Ben Johnson's really good, and I think he's creative. Like the TD to LaPorta against the Rams was just a fantastic job of taking a jumbo scheme and basically forcing an edge to cover your tight end on a crossing route. That was beautiful, right? But also, he's got one of the top probably three offensive lines, two fantastic running backs, a really good collection of receivers, and a quarterback who, when he has a good offensive line, is spot on. So, okay, so let's take those other two guys and tell me what they have. You know, you got Saquon Barkley sometimes. It's the constant conversation in this league that we had so much in the last few years about, okay, is Todd Downing an idiot? Is Arthur Smith a genius? Or were their personnel situations so drastically different that they're actually closer than you might think?
That's going to do it for us today. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.